Father, we thank you this morning, God, that we can sing about the character of who you are. God, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are a good, good Father. You are the God of miracles. And Father, we thank you for who you are this morning. God, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for joining us. And God, just being here with us. God, there's nothing greater than being in your presence. And we just thank you for it. Pray this morning, God, that as we continue in the word, God, that you'd be lifted up and you'd speak to our hearts. God, we love you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want y'all to know who my friend Glenn Stanley really is. Some of you know him, some of you don't really know him. Glenn and I have been friends for, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
Well, he ain't from the yacht club. I'd be the guy in the blue shirt. He'd be the guy in the beard with the light. Okay. And, you know, this guy left to here about 25 years ago and went to that place with his kids and his family. And he's been there ever since. Too close to you. Now he's going to stand here and he's going to feel unworthy to tell you what God has told him to say today. And he's getting ready to be released from that. Okay? This is a guy that goes to Mardi Gras and walks the streets where the demonic influence is so incredibly powerful that you can't stay out more than a couple hours without getting some rest and recovery. Okay, this is a guy that moves people halfway across the country, breaks down on the road, it'll be next to a salvage yard, and somebody in there needs the Lord. Not just one time, not just two times. Every time. Every single time. So when you look at somebody and you want to know what God saw in David, and you want to know what it's like to get up every morning and not be completely successful in the world's eyes and have difficulty, this guy's got plenty of difficulty. But he's always thinking about what God wants done that day. I don't know anybody that sees life more that way than Glenn Stanley does. So there is nobody more worthy to stand in front of you today and deliver what God says. Okay? Because this guy knows what God says. And I want him released to be free to tell you what God has told him to tell you today. Because it's not easy for him. Okay? It's a tough gig. So right now, I want you just to bow your heads, close your eyes, and all at once, out loud, in the Cambodian way, I want you to pray that God will give his anointing in a special way to Glenn Stanley for us to receive. Because this is a guy today that's bringing what God has for you that you need to hear. And you can rely on that. It's trustworthy. It's real. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I lay hands on Glenn. Father, I pray for anointing that I know he has. Father, I pray for your mercy and your grace, Lord. I pray for empowerment of the Holy Spirit in a special way so that, Lord, we hear and we know that, Lord, you are absolutely in control of every single word that he has to say, and that, Lord, you will bring exactly what we need to hear today. And, Lord, he will be refreshed, and your spirit will give him clarity. And, Lord, he will be just the man that he needs to be today for you in this situation. Lord, thank you, Lord. We love him. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Good morning to you. I love this church more than a lot of people probably know. This church body has loved me and my family extremely. Every one of my children were saved and baptized in the other sanctuary. And I'm so grateful to God that that He loved me enough to not to leave me in a place of that I was at. When Angelia and I first started coming here, our marriage was bad. We had been married for probably about a year and a half, and fighting like crazy, and I was into alcohol and some drugs I was into. And there was times that woman even blacked my eye once, and I deserved it. It's amazing how much God loves us and puts us in a place. And this body of believers in First Baptist Aledo embraced my wife and I. And there was a couple in here called Connie and Ron Tolles. I know some of you guys know who they are. They came and fetched us out of Fort Worth off a Las Vegas trail, and we started coming to church here. And one of the weirdest things for me was, I don't know if Mr. Kubosh, to me he's Mr. Kubosh, David Kubosh was my deacon, and I didn't know what a deacon was at the time. And if you know Mr. Kubosh, he has a very deep voice. And when he came up to introduce himself, he says, "You know, I'm David Kubosh, and I'm your deacon." And the only thoughts I had in my head, God found me out. You know, God's got somebody watching over me because He knows the kind of guy that I am. And if we all was to take a truthful mirror image of ourselves and we look at ourselves in the mirror, it probably wouldn't be such a great picture in there if we truly look at ourselves. I love this church. And that love for this church will never, ever grow cold. And I am so grateful for the men and the leaders that have stood and been loyal to their Savior. Because it takes being loyal to our Savior to be a servant of God. It takes that loyalty. A few months ago, or a couple months ago, I moved to Judge. And this judge had been a judge for quite a few years, probably, I think he said 24 years or something like that, of another city. And he called me and asked me if I'd move him. And so I moved him. And they had lots of antiques in their house, and they had lots of fancy pictures, real expensive paintings and stuff in their house, and great people. And we moved them into their house, and about a day later, he calls me back and says, Glenn, he says, I need to move some things around and to fit it better in the house. I said, "Sure, Judge, I'll come over there and help move stuff around." And so I went over there and helped move stuff around. And they had this dog, and it's Cupcake. And can you imagine an inside dog looking like a cupcake? Well, this dog looked like a cupcake. Good, fat, plump Cupcake. And his Mrs. Judge, you know, being in that kind of environment, in a kind of a law environment, judge, being the judge of in a big city, you're gonna have people that gonna call on you and do all kinds of different stuff and uplift you, that there's gonna be a sense of you that you are a proper person. Well, she's a very proper lady. And so in the judge, but the judge is a very sensitive man, very sensitive. And as I was moving stuff around for him and putting it in the right place, they asked me to go into this one room. And I went in this one room. Well, Cupcake was coming on in too. And it was kind of a small bedroom, and they had asked me to move a bed over, and as his wife was in front of me, Cupcake ran in between me and her, and I smelled something really, really bad. I knew that that dog had just farted. I knew the judge is behind me, and I knew his wife is in front of me. I knew his wife knew that that dog just farted. But I'm believing that that wife, she stepped out of the way because she didn't want me thinking that she farted. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want her thinking that I think that she farted. So I went to the other side of the room, and then the judge didn't want me thinking his wife farted, so he kind of went over this side. How hard is it would be to stay in the middle of the stink, right? And just ignore it. That's how some people feel about homeless. That's how some people feel about poor people, people that don't have lots of money, that actually are in the middle of confusion. And we know, as the Bible says, we know who the author of confusion is. That's Satan. A lot of people that are poor, and I bet if everybody raised their hand in here, that there's not a family in here that has not been affected by drugs or alcohol in some way. Some way been affected by it. The streets are full of it. The streets are full of people that have gotten lost during the way somehow. Maybe it was from a generation thing. And folks, if Christ doesn't come in your life, the generation curse is going to keep on flowing down. Because that is the only thing that can overcome it. We can't even make things up to overcome it. We got tons of rehabs out there that are not about Christ. They're about man-made stuff. I went to so many AA, NA meetings that it made me puke. Because not only was supposed to be encouraging me to stay off alcohol and off drugs, but there was no center purpose in my higher power. There was no direction in it. Higher power. I could have made a doorknob my higher power, and they would have been fine with it. As long as I stayed off alcohol and drugs. That was the key. You stay clean, you stay sober. But the real antidote is to know Christ, is to come to a point in your life that you have no power over this stuff, that you have no power over sin, and that's exactly what it is. It's sin. Alcohol and drugs, I cannot stand it when people say, I'm an alcoholic. No, my friend, you're not an alcoholic. You are a sinner. Alcohol might be the sin you're struggling with, but you are not an alcoholic, you're a sinner. And that is our problem, is the sin problem. And the same problem that they're having down on the streets of Lancaster or down in Mardi Gras or any of these other streets is sin. It's got nothing to do with the made-up American names or made-up world names that we have. And there's only one way that we're going to be able to overcome that. And that is the power of Christ, the power of God in our lives. That is the only way. The only truth. Up in here, we could say that we're living a comfortable life. If you're in a comfortable life, my friend, then I'm saying that you're not in a purpose will of God. Because God is constantly at work, totally around us, and His purpose and His will is not always comfortable. It is not comfortable. I could tell you times and times again that things are crazy. We can check out the Bible. If you go to Romans 1:1, where Paul says that I am a bond servant of Christ. Can you remember the day that you accepted Christ? Can you remember that day, that moment that you said yes to Christ, that you said yes to Lord? What did that mean when you said yes to God? What did we understand that to be? Oh, I come and ask Christ in my life. I come and now I go to church. And I do my Wednesday thing. I might come back to church next Sunday. I might do Sunday night. But there's no servant in those words. When we learn that who we are in Christ, we learn as Paul is saying right here, I am a bond servant. What is a bond servant? Well, under the Roman law, it's considered as one's personal property. One's personal property. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be the personal property of Satan's work. And if we ain't doing God's work, what are we doing? We can't be hot and cold at the same time. We either got to be busy being a servant of God, doing God's will, God's purpose, God's plan in our lives. And you could say, well, I don't know what that is. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what we seek God for. That's why we open up God's Bible and we say, God, is this the direction I need to go? Is this the door are you opening for me? God, I'm going to be walking this way. There's times that a few years back, when my daughters were younger, that there was a girl that gotten sick there in our youth group. She was 16 years old. The doctor said she's got an adult progressing cancer. I said, that's all right, man. We got God on our side. We're going to do this thing. We prayed for her. We took her to the altar. We prayed for her. We prayed for her in a hospital. She used to come to our house, and all her sisters used to come to our house all the time, and we'd be praying, and by the end of the year, she was carrying her morphine bag around with her, and man, we still be praying, we still be believing that God's going to heal this girl. The week before her birthday, we was at her house. They carried her out in a body bag. We're there. What do I tell my daughters now? What do I say to my family? Oh, was that God's will that girl died? Was that God's purpose? This is, you know, we're trying to minister and to help and to be a part of a God's world. And now I got to tell my kids that God didn't answer that prayer. How do you do it? What's God's will? What do? You keep serving. Be loyal to Christ. When he, about 2 years later, she had a little brother. His name is John. And John came into the youth. I took him to T-Mania. We took him out to T-Mania. And one of the nights at the sessions at nighttime, there was a football player that spoke. I don't know, remember who he was, but he spoke to the kids. And I watched John go down to the altar, and a bunch of kids go down there with him. And I couldn't get to John because all the kids were there. And I said, all right, I said, I'll take rest of the youth, and we'll wait for John to come outside. And we waited for John to come outside. We all sat in this big in the parking lot and kind of talking about the day. We, you know, just find out what everybody thought about what God was telling them, what God was talking to them. And John came, sat down by me. John said, I talked to him. I said, okay, that's pretty good. 12-year-old talks to a football player. Woohoo, yeehaw. John looked at me and he says, no, I talked to him. I said, well, what did he say? He says, I asked him that Sabrina still got that cancer. You know what God told John, a 12-year-old boy? He said, everybody that comes to me gets healed. He told a 12-year-old that everybody that comes to me gets healed. How many of you know of somebody that was 12 years old that heard straight from God like that? This boy is coming from a place that in his family house is major confusion going on. There's major confusion. There ain't no Christ-centered person in that house. That house is not full of love, grace, generosity, love. And the love that's in there is a selfish love. John came to know who God was when he was 12 years old because of what his sister went through. If there was another way to do it, I would say, God, why did Sabrina have to die? Why did we have to go through all that pain? Why did the church have to go through all that? We look at Paul's life as a bondservant of Christ. And you know, there's many other people in the Bible that God calls servants. If you look at Abraham in Genesis 26:24, he's a servant. Moses in Numbers 12:7, there it is again, he's a servant. Joshua 24:29. There it is again. He's a servant. God calls him a servant. King David. 2 Samuel 7:5. There it is again. Servant. A servant. Isaiah 23. What does it say? There it is again. Servant. And the one in main all, one that we should be definitely be looking at is in Isaiah 53:11. He calls the Messiah a servant of God. So what is our Bible telling us? What is the will of God? What is it telling us right here? It's telling us that we are servants. That as Paul was a slave to righteousness, that we are a slave to righteousness. What does that mean? Do we stay home, get fat and happy, and get our houses bigger, get our cars built bigger? I'm not saying that money and wealth is wrong, but if it's got the wrong motive behind it, if you're not about Christ, if you ain't about sharing about God, then you're thinking about yourself and you are being selfish. And God's not the Lord of your life. Even though you might come on a Sunday morning to church, God doesn't just want your money, He wants you. A slave is someone who what? It's somebody's property. If Christ bought you with His blood, then what are you? I'm a slave. What is your will with my life, Lord? Send me. How many of us are saying, send me, Lord, send me. I'll go. I know it's going to be hard, but I'll go. I'll do it. There's a lot of things that go down there on those streets. I promise you that is not an easy picnic thing, but there are moments that we have down there when you know that God is in control, and watch what God does when He's in control. People getting loved. There was a man down in one of those camps right now that years ago that he had been coming to Beautiful Feet, and he was at the camps and we loved on him. We shared with him. We took him places. We loved on him. The feeder bunch all just embraced him and was loving on him. We got a restoration house going down there, and it's taking men off the streets and putting them into this atmosphere of to where they can get a foundation of who Christ is, get a foundation of who they are in Christ. And he started getting in on that, and you know what he did? He did a bonehead thing. He decides he wants to smoke some marijuana. So you know what we had to do? Boom. Mike, you got to go. You can't be here. And it put him in a tailspin, and you would think that would be the end of the story. Well, that's not the end of the story, because he got so convicted about what God was doing in his life. And I'm telling you, it wasn't man. It was what God was doing in his life. Because he felt the love of all the people around him that were servants of God, that were engaging, that was active. This man had been running from the law. This man had been running from the law in California. So what this man had to do is he had to hop on a bus, go to California, go to himself to Crossbar Motel, and get right. And you know what? That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. And he, you know what he did? After he got out, he came right back. He came right back to Beautiful Feet. He came right back to where he felt the love of God at. And he started participating and doing the things in the will of God, being the servant that God has called us to be. And as he being the servant, he finds out he's got cancer. So now he has prostate cancer. He can barely walk. He still lives in the camps, in the camps area. But guess what? He's good. He's got troubles. Things are hard, but he's good. Because his relationship with Christ is good. He's a servant. He knows that he's a servant of God. He knows who he is. He's poor. He ain't got probably two knuckles to put together to make a dime. But he's good. He's got a place to go to get food if he needs to get food. Right now they put him back in the hospital. I think he's back in the hospital because he couldn't barely walk at all, where he could even do a wheelchair. But he's in a good place. Being a servant of God, you're going to go through problems, through struggles. If we look at what Paul went through, what Paul endured, 2 Corinthians 11, 27, was it 23, 27? 23, 28. Look at all this stuff. Shipwreck, gets rotted, gets whipped. Some of us, if we were to get that, what'd we say? I ain't gonna be doing this. I ain't going there. That's too hard. I have to walk through all that stuff. That's too hard. God, you know I believe in you, but that's just too hard for me to endure. We've gotten so Americanized, cupcaked, that if everything ain't laid out beautiful for us, we have problems. Oh, I can't do that. I got to step back. I can't do that. Paul was in shipwrecks. I don't know if any of you guys ever been in a shipwreck or not. I've never been in a shipwreck. But he endured shipwrecks. The things that Paul endured. I think about Peter. You know, Peter spent that time with God and seen all the miracles, did all that. And you know, some of us Christians, we see what God's done. We've seen that God's a good God and a good power, but we're still not motivated to serve. We still don't really have the impact because we don't have a vision about what's going to come. We don't see the end results. Sometimes we don't want to go that way. When Peter, if you remember, in the last book of John, Peter's out there on the boat fishing. He went back to work. He went back doing his work thing and still doing the Christ thing. Instead of doing what God says for him to do, like it says in the end of Matthew, to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. He didn't say, stay there, stay where you're at, get fat and happy. He didn't say that, did he? Is there anywhere in the Word where God says, stay there and stay fat and happy? I hadn't seen it. He says, go and make disciples. And that word go means I got to be a servant. It means I got to do something. I got to do my part. This room is full of gifted people. It is full of far more gifted people than what I am. Far more gifted. Songbirds I just heard up on the stage. Woo, man. Put Jesus, sing that soul right in there. I watched a man on Mardi Gras one time. Mike Myers is the pastor of Beautiful Feet. Him and I were walking the edge of water, and Mike decided to bring his guitar out. Well, as he's walking, you know, some of these people are lit up drunk, some of these people are wasted, some of these people are in porno mind, some of these people are at Zappo, you know what I'm saying? Their mind's not in a godly way. And let me tell you, there's some Christians that are down there that think, oh, this is nothing. There was a man that was on this bench. Mike looked at him and his face was kind of all puckered up and not looking so well. And Mike said, looked at him and says, he said, what's the matter? Is your underwear too tight? And that guy looked at Mike and says, I ain't wearing no underwear. And Mike looked at me and I said, no, I'm not going to check if he's got underwear or not. But Mike says, do you want me to sing you a song? That man says, yeah, I'd like for you to sing me a song. And if anybody's ever been down at Mardi Gras, there's tons of people that panhandle down there on the corner wanting money for singing. Tons of them. And Mike started singing the song. He wanted them to know one of those country singer songs, Hank Williams or whatever. And I'm thinking in my head, does Mike know any country singers that sing the gospel songs or sing a Christian song to him? And so Mike flares up his guitar, man, and starts singing the song. I'm thinking, he does know a song. When Mike started singing that song, that man on that bench started crying. His tears just went boom, 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 boom. And we knew something was going on inside. Because God was knocking on the door. He was knocking on the door. That man was dying of cancer. He had lung cancer. He didn't have 6 months to live, and he was sitting on that bench because he didn't know what to do. We did. You know what we got to do? We got to pray over him. We got to talk to him about leading him to Christ. That this might be your end. That lung cancer might get you. But guess what? You won't end at death. One day, all of us are going to stand before God. All of us are going to stand before the day of judgment. And if you've been a churchgoer your entire life and praise God and you threw money in that offering, but you have never served God, never once, little mind grain of a hair, served God anyway. What are you going to lay at his feet? We all know we're going to die. We all know that. And it could be 80 years old. It could be 50 years old. But we know we're going to die. And I'm not a good businessman. I'm not a good financial man. But I know if I'm going to put money on something, I'm going to put something that's going to be everlasting, not on something that's going to end. When Peter was in that boat and went fishing, he didn't see God's plan. He didn't see the results that was going to happen. He didn't know by serving God what was going to happen. And if you go from the end chapter of John and you're going into the book of Acts and you go through the big Holy Spirit big convert party that went on. See, he didn't know that there was a man sitting at the gates that had been paralyzed the entire life. That Peter was sent. He was sent by God. God's plan was for Peter to go to that gate and to heal that man. What did Peter say? I didn't have silver or gold nor I, but I got something else. Whether we work, whether the Bearcats, whatever, soccer, volleyball, football, It should be all motivated by who am I going to win for Christ? Who are we going to go to this game? I want somebody that's going to win for Christ. How can I be a witness for them to win them over for Christ? That's the plan for Christ. Because Christ is the only way that we become overcomers in this world. It's the only way. We can't be self-motivated. It has to be Christ-motivated. It has to be Christ-motivated. Because if it's Christ-motivated, then as the Bible says, that all things will work for us. For those who trust. But if you ain't trusting in that, if you are trusting in the man-made ways, things of what's been produced on this earth, good luck. Good luck. What's our economy doing right now? How many people have watched the news about how many people are clashing out there? Tons. It's tons. We Christians need to stand up and serve our Lord and be the mouthpiece and the foot that Christ was, that Christ commanded us to be. You can say, well, I'm not about that, and it don't make me feel. You got to start putting your feelings on the park bench. This has got to be the motivation to know who Christ is. You're going to go through hardships. And you might go through hardships with somebody, or you might go through hardships with your family, but you're going to go through hardships. Our Christianity doesn't depend on if I go through hardships or not. Paul knew that he was a servant. He knew that there's a price. There's a price to be a slave. There is a price. The glory moments are great. They're beautiful, man. They're beautiful moments to see somebody come to know who Christ is. To see somebody say, man, pow, bang, I got it, man. God is real. Woo! Yeah, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to follow this way. But let me tell you, to win somebody over, it's not just one moment in a blink and it's going to be it. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes time in the trench work to keep at digging the trench. And you got to dig, and be praying to God that His grace and mercy will bring this person into knowing who Christ is. It's got to be God. But it's got to be your willingness to be a servant. It's got to be your willingness to be a servant. God's work is going to go on whether you join Him or not. But God calls us to be a servant. God calls us to be more than just a business owner. More than supplying money for church buildings. We're fixing to have a gymnasium down there at Beautiful Feet. We're fixing to hit a mark that we've never, ever came across. We're fixing to get in something that is totally out of our thinking. Bunch of inner city kids and youth going to a basketball. We had a basketball team years ago, and let me tell you, the drama was high. Drama was high, let me tell you. Getting these kids picked up, knowing if they're at Annie's house, Grammy's house, whoever's house. Plus all the drama that got brought onto the basketball courts. It was rough. It was rough. But it was good. It was good because of what God was doing in there. There's relationships that were built back there on those basketball courts from God's realm going into their realm that God built, that God Himself built, that today those relationships are strong. I'm talking about some of these kids that even ended up in prison two or three times. I had one kid that had scholarships from all kinds of colleges, but he decided to put a gun in his hand and tried to shoot somebody. And he ended up doing like 8 years in prison. You know who he calls? He calls me. Because he knows. He knows that God is the answer. He knows. He might not accept it right now, but he knows that God is the answer. Because he's drawn to it. And only God can draw somebody to it. We can't make that up. That's not imitation stuff. And there's more. There's tons more stuff that I could share with you. But you got to make a decision. Sometimes going to church week after week, month after month, our hearts get hardened. Sometimes we don't hear God anymore. Even though you might know God as your personal Savior, you might have had that relationship that one time that you was on fire for God and to know God, and you got in with a click. You got in doing it Sunday. Here I am Sunday morning. Woo! Here I am Wednesday night. Woo! The rest of the week is a fog. The heart's got hardened. And Christians, our hearts can get hardened. We could say no to God so many times that we don't even hear God. Yeah, I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing. But hey, you know, God, I got to get work tomorrow. I got my responsibility. I got my kids. I feel you. I know. There's nothing more important than people's souls. Nothing. Many of you guys were if you had heard about what happened in West Fort Worth a few weeks ago, we had a man down there at Beautiful Feet that passed away. His name was Dale, and we were doing a service on a Tuesday night over at Wedgwood Baptist Church for him, and a lot of feeders that came from all over, the people that have come through there, seminary students, all kinds of people that have come through Beautiful Feet came that night to go celebrate Dale's death. Dale had been with Beautiful Feet like 20-something years. And consistent, the man was consistent on being a servant. He was 80-something years old when he passed away. But let me tell you what, his wife passed away last year. Let me tell you what, you know where he was at? He was in prison with us. He was down there at the feet with us. He was consistent in his loyalty as a servant to God. He was consistent. Well, that same evening, there was a police officer that was shot over there. And Officer Pierce, well, he was part of that church that was over there. And during the service, they were praying for him and praying for him and his family. And you know what the bad thing was? Not only was the police officer shot, that's a horrible thing. And I say that's very horrible. That man that shot him, his name was Ed MacGyver. I've known him for about 20-something years. He lived in Weatherford. His entire family, cursed. One of his sisters is running from the FBI right now for different kinds of reasons. Last time I had heard, Ed was up in Sherman because he was hiding out from the cops. I didn't even realize that he was back in Fort Worth. And they texted me and said, Ed's dead. That's it for Ed. That's it. Final. You know where he is probably right now? He's in hell. He's probably in hell right now because he said no to Christ. He said no to God. He said no. Was he a blessing to his son? His son was headed for college. Ed comes back down here, gets his son all messed up on coke, and guess what his son's doing? All right, Dad, let's get to college. Bang, bang, bang. He cursed his son. Death. It's final. Ed, he's probably in hell right now, roasting. Final chapter of his life is gone. How many people do we know about that in our lives? How many people that maybe we go to work with or even around maybe at the school that we know that do not have God in life? There is no fruit of God there. Hell is final. It is final for us. It's not maybe or if, it is final. That day of judgment, my brothers and sisters, the day of judgment, what are you going to do? If you have nothing to give God, what are you going to do? God, you know I was faithful. I went to church and I praised you. Oh, yeah. Today, you get an opportunity to change that spoon that you were given into a label to where you can serve somebody else. And by serving somebody else, by picking up this label, I want you to understand that it might not be easy to do that. It might not be easy to get out of your comfort zone to do something that you really don't want to do. You got to choose, because today it's in your face. It's in my face every day. I choose, am I going to serve God or not serve God? Am I going to serve myself? Am I going to serve God that day? And please don't mistake this. Just like some of those guys that go on the street corners and put up their little signs and we say, well, I got a couple bucks and I can go over there and give them a couple bucks. Let me tell you something. You are giving that couple bucks for yourself to make you feel good. Because if we truly want to help somebody else, we got to open the car door of our car and say, hey man, get in. I know where you can get a hot meal at. I know a place. See, we adjust our lives to God, not God adjust His lives to us. We are His servants. Today, you might need a heart check. You might need to say, man, I need to check my heart and find out exactly where I am at with you, Lord. If I really belong to you, God, or is this imitation? We got lots of pretty churches out there being built. Lots of pretty churches. And lots of people that are willing to go to these beautiful churches and, woo, man, praise the Lord, hallelujah, we're having a good old time. Get out the door, man. Ain't nothing going on. Ain't nothing going on. That's because we are His servants. And if there ain't nothing going on out there, it's because we're not doing nothing. It's not because God's not doing something. As you're fixing to hear a song, I'm asking you today, trade in your spoon for a label. They got a list of things, people that, places that you can serve, to be served at. God does not want us to be a bunch of deadbeats. That's not what His call is. That's not what God calls us to be. When this body fed me God and fed me Christ, and Bob and Anisha Garman took me on my first mission trip, I'm like, woo, man, if God's working on a mission trip like this, why isn't God just doing this all the time? And I started looking around and realizing God is. God does. It's me that's taking God out of the picture. It's me making the decision that I'm not going to join God and do what God's doing. I'm not going to be the servant to God. You got to make a decision. And there's lots of opportunity. I can't believe how many students you guys pick up on Wednesday night. It just blows me away. takes two buses and two vans. I'm thinking, Sean, Andy, you guys got help for all this? This is crazy. God is doing something in this church right now. I know He is. You got a pastor who is hungering for the fire of God here. He's not trying to convert this into some big old mansion place, fancy spot, but he wants the fire of God inside his church, inside God's church. And that's not going to happen if people don't humble themselves and say that I am the slave. God, send me. If we are not willing to bow to God and to God's purpose and plan, how are we going to let God's power say God's power is in our life? It ain't going to happen. Because you'll end up with glory, and God's not going to do that. This is the glory of God. The glory of the Lord. Glory of God. God is moving, man. He's moving. He's constantly moving in our lives. And it don't matter if you're CEO of a big company or the janitor at a company. God is at work doing things. Just as Paul was a bondservant, we have to come to an understanding that that's who we are. That's part of our DNA from God. That's who we are spiritually. When we say, God, I'm not going to cross this line, I'm not going to cross that line, God, this is the box that I feel good in. Better check yourself. Better check yourself. Check your heart. Check to see if you really belong to Christ. Because you may not belong to Christ. You might belong to a church. You might belong to a clique. But you don't belong to Christ. The altar is open. And if you need to get something right with God before you pick up a label, maybe you're not ready to be a servant of God and pick up a label. Maybe you're not ready. You better start praying, my friend. Time is getting short. Ed was 42 years old. His fate ended very badly. He lived a very badly life, but he was 42 when he died. And how many of us know that we've had friends that have passed, that are around us, that were not of age, that were young? Guys, there's some things that I can do for those homeless. There's things that I can't do. There's things that I cannot do for them. As much as I want to, as much as my heart wants to, I can't. Because maybe I don't have the gifts, maybe I don't have the brain power, maybe I'm not smart enough with the money. But there's somebody here that is. And there's somebody here that has decided not to be serving God when you know that's where you're supposed to be at. We can be the greatest employees that God calls us to be. We can serve God. We can serve our Savior by loving others and to a place where they come to know who Christ is. That is the main important thing in this world, is to come to know Christ and to share Christ with others. There's nothing more important than that. Nothing. We are wasting our time if we build big mansions and have a bunch of people around us that go to hell. If we let our friends go to hell, if we let our family members go to hell, oh, I'm scared to say something. I'm so nervous about it. You've got to get over it. If you know you've got some issues about sharing, man, work on it. Work on it. Don't quit until you get there. Get God to enable you. He's going to prepare you for it. Couldn't talk. You know what God said to me? He said, get over yourself. Get over yourself. It ain't about you. It's about Christ our Lord and our Savior. It's about Him. It ain't about you. He died because of us, but it's about Him. It's about His love, about how He cared, about how He died. And the Bible even said that he was a slave to the God. I'm doing my own thing down here. We got a whole bunch of generation of people want to do their own thing. God's word didn't say do your own thing. It says do God's will, God's word, God's plan. If you got some business with God, now's the time to get to do it. Thank you.